Be'ezras Hashem, b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf was Nedarim daf Mem Vav, and we left off in the middle of the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the fifth parak. A good vach to Dr. Joe, to Harav Dov ben Yamin, ben Shneir Zalman Don HaKohen, to Chanachenach, to Mordechai, to Avi, to Aryeh, to David Yoshua, and to Tzvika. We left off in the middle of the Mishnah about 10 lines down by the words Hamudr Hana Mechaveiro, about 10 lines down. So the Mishnah is going to discuss a very interesting case, which is if I rent a chatzer, I own the chatzer and I rent it to somebody else. So if somebody swears not to get any benefit from me, is he allowed to walk into the chatzer? Because it's not really mine. I'm renting it to somebody, but it's mine. I own it, but it's rented to somebody else. That's going to be a general question about how do we view a rental in halacha. It's going to...
Isn't a renter, if he damages something, doesn't he pay him back? If I rent a house and I damage...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'm still the owner at the end of the day. I'm still the owner, so that's going to be Joe. That's going to be exactly the discussion. Let's see. That's going to be exactly the discussion. So, says the Mishnah, Hamudr Hana Mechaveru, V'yeshlo Merchatz Ubeis Habad. So Reuven swears not to get any benefit from Shimon, and Shimon has a bathhouse or an oil press, Muskarin Ba'ir, that they're rented out to somebody else. So im yeshlo behen tfisas yad, if the owner is getting a cut from the proceeds of the bathhouse, so he's getting a cut, so he's still maintaining some form of ownership. We'll see how much of a cut he has to get. Usser, so then I'm still involved. So if a guy swears not to get benefit from me, even though I'm the owner, I rented it out to somebody else, but I'm getting a cut, so I'm still involved. However, ein lo behen tfisas yad, if I am not getting a cut of anything and I rented the whole thing out to somebody else, I'm just being paid a fee, just a rental fee, but I'm not getting a cut of the proceeds. So then, mutter. The Ran writes in the name of the Rashba that this halacha is stated dafka in a case where the owner rented out the bathhouse or the olive press prior to the nether. However, if first he made the nether and then he rented it out, so then when I was the owner of the thing, so the nether was chal, I made the nether first and I was the owner at that time. If I rented it out afterwards, so then certainly the issur would be chal, and therefore the guy would not be able to benefit from it. Because as long as I didn't sell it, I'm still the owner, then it would still apply. However, the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says, so that's the Ran, but in the name of the Rashba, but the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says, no, even if I first made the nether and then I rented it out, still, as long as I'm not getting any cut out of it, so it's no longer really mine. And therefore, the guy's now allowed to benefit from it. Again, he didn't say this bathhouse. He said, from you, I can't get any benefit. From you. So now that you rented it to somebody else, so he's allowed to get benefit. Because rental is tantamount to a sale. There's a line in the Gemara in Baba Basra that says, Zechirus is mechira liyome. That rental is like selling it for a day. So once I rent it out, it's like I sold it to somebody else. And one final issue before we go further. The Rush quotes the opinion of the Ritzva, who's medayik from our Mishnah, that someone who rents out an object, let's say I rent out an object to somebody else, so I cannot now forbid this object on someone else. Even though I'm the owner, but since I don't get the benefit of this object now, I rented it to somebody else, I'm not allowed to use it anymore. I'm the owner. I rent my house to somebody, so I don't have rights to it anymore. So I can't now forbid somebody else from using my house because it's no longer really my house. That's the opinion of the Ritzva. However, the Rosh himself quotes this opinion of the Ritzva, but then he disagrees and says, even if I have no rights to the house, nevertheless, I'm the owner, and therefore I can aser the hana of it on somebody else. And this that the Mishnah says that he's allowed to benefit from it, that's because we assume he only wants to aser the other nechassim, not this thing. But if he says explicitly that he wants to aser this bathhouse on somebody, he can do that. So let's continue. Says the Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chaveiro konum l'beischa shani nichnas. Reuven says to Shimon, I swear I will not enter into your house, beischa. We saw this quoted earlier. V'sadcha shani lukech. I swear I'm never going to buy your field. Mace. And then Shimon, Reuven says, I swear I'm never going to go into Shimon's house. And then Shimon dies. So it's not his house anymore. He's dead. Or he sold the house to somebody else. So it's also not his house anymore. Mutter. So then Reuven's allowed to go into the house because he died, Shimon died, or sold it off. However, konim bayis ze sh'ani nechnas. If a guy swears, I'm never going to go into this house, I'm never going to buy this field. So then it's not about the owner, it's about the field. So then mace, if the guy dies, he sold to somebody else, usser. It's usser for me to buy that field or to go into that house even after the guy dies. Now, the Ran points out, even though Bayez Zeh has a strictness, but Bayez Zeh also has a leniency. Why? Let's say the house falls down. The house, there's a fire or a hurricane, whatever, the house blows down. And they rebuild it. So then, Beischa is still usser. But Bayezeh, it's not Bayezeh anymore. It's a different house. So that's actually going to be a leniency for Bayezeh. Usually Bayezeh is a strictness, meaning even after you die, even if the Shimon dies or he sells it, I still can't go in. So it's a strictness Bayezeh. But in the case of the house falling down, the Ran says Bayezeh is a leniency because it's not the same house anymore. The house fell down. I think in some places, this is a New Jersey thing, right? When they rebuild the houses, like you leave like one little piece of the old house. So for tax purposes, it's not a new construction because they still have like the chimney from the old house. Like, do you ever see that? They knock down a house, but there's like still the door is still standing there because, oh, it's not a new house because I still got the same door. So for tax purposes, you don't have to. It's renovations. We're just doing renovations. It's not a new construction.
But the same case here. As long as there's a door up, that's
So right. So that's what I wonder. Right? That's a good question. How much of it has to be standing that it's considered not to be a new house? Great question. That's what it would sound like, Avi. It would sound that you're right. Fine. So let's continue. Says the Gemara. Ibailuhu, they asked a question. Now for this, you're going to have to remember the beginning of the Mishnah, which we did yesterday, not today. So Ibailuhu, Benadru, Pligay. However, he dears as am I. The Gemara thinks that the Mishnah's case is where I took a shvua or I took a neder not to benefit from you, or you took a benefit not to benefit from you. Remember what the case in the beginning of the Mishnah was? You have to remember that case. In the beginning of the Mishnah, we had Hashutfin Shanadru Hana Zemizah Asur in the Kanas Lachatzer. You and I own a courtyard in partnership, and I swore not to get any benefit from you, and you swore not to get any benefit from me. So the Gemara understands that's the simple case. But what about if I swore that you can't get any benefit from me? Would the halakha be the same here? And you swore not to get any benefit, and you swore not, that I can't get any benefit from you. Not that I swore not to get benefit from you, and you swore not to get benefits. I said you can't get benefit from me, and you said I can't get benefit from you. Would that be the same halakha? See, bailahu, binadru plige. Is the machlokas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov against Rabbanan? Remember, we were talking about a field that we both own or a courtyard that we both own in partnership, and each of us swore not to get any benefit from the other. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said in the Mishnah that I'm allowed to go in and you're allowed to go in, but the Chachamim said you're not allowed to go in. So What would be the din if I put the nether on you? Benazhu pligi, but he dears as am I. What about if I put the nether on you not to benefit from me, and you aser for me to benefit from you? Me, I'm Rinan. Do we say Benazhu hu de pligi? The machlokas of Elazar ben Yaakov and Chacham is only where each of us took the nether upon ourselves. You shafted yourself, so we shaft you. Avol behidir zeh modeli rabban Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But maybe if I put the nether on you, maybe in that case the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that each person is allowed to go in, because maybe they also agree to this idea of yesh breira. This idea of yesh breira, which means we do say retroactive termination, which means, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, when I go in, we assume it's now my turn to use the thing. So I'm not benefiting from you. I'm benefiting from me. That was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so yesh breira. It's just that when you accept upon yourself the Isser Hana, the rabbis penalize you. Why did you make a neder on yourself? And therefore they asked you to go into, because it looks bad. It looks like you're looking like somebody else. But really, me'ikar adin, it should be mutter. D'chiyanusindamo, because what do you want from me? I didn't aser on myself to go in. You asered me. So that's why the Chacham would agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Oh, Dilma, no. Or the Gemara says, no, that's not. Afilu b'hidir zezeh pligi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say you're not allowed to go into this chatzar, even if I put the neder on you, you're still not allowed to go, because they hold ein breira. We don't say retroactive determination. And when I go in, every molecule of this place is owned by both of us. So when I'm stepping on this molecule, I'm benefiting from you. We don't say breira. We don't say retroactive. We don't say when I go in, oh, now this turns out retroactively that when we purchased it together, that this is my day. This is my chelek. Says the Gemara, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof from the exact wording of the Mishnah. Haya echad mihem mudar hana mechavero. Mudar hana mechavero. Now, from the language of mudar, that sounds like the other guy asered me. He was mudar hana mechavero. It wasn't that I asered myself. He asered me. Upligi rabbanan. You see, that's where you have a machlokas. So you see that they argue even by the case of where I put the nether on you and you put the nether on me. He says, come on, no. Maybe that's not exactly what it means. Tni nodur mechavero hana. That language does not necessarily indicate that you put the nether on me. It could even be where I put the nether on myself. So maybe the Mishnah is only arguing in the case where I put the nether on myself. But if I put the nether on you, maybe Chachamim would agree, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that I am allowed to go into it. And the Gemara says this makes a lot of logical sense. Hachinami mistavra. It's logical to say that the whole machlokas is only where you made the nether on yourself. But if I put the nether on you, then everyone agrees you're allowed to go in. Why? Diktani sefer, because look at the end of the Mishnah. V'kofenes hano de limkar eschelko. We force the guy to sell his portion. Says the Gemara. Yamar bishlama denoder hu. So if you put the nether on yourself, so you messed yourself over by putting a nether, so then it makes sense why the rabbis would force you to sell your chelok, because you messed yourself over. Hanik diktani kofen. But if you put the nether on me, why would you force me to sell? Because you put a nether on me? Am I kofenoso? Hamenis onis. What do you want from me? I didn't put the nether on me. You put the nether on me, right? And the sefer was a case where only one of them was nether, but you, Reuven, put the nether on Shimon only in one direction. So the halach is, why are you making me sell if you're the one who put the nether on me? Hamenis onis. Fine. So that's the conclusion, that the Mishnah is only talking about a case of where you took the nether on yourself. But if I put the nether on you, everyone agrees you are allowed to go in. Now, the next issue that the Gemara takes up is, what size chatzer, what size courtyard are we talking about that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Chacham are arguing about? Because the Gemara in Bava Basra says there's two types of courtyards. If the courtyard is more than 8 amos by 4 amos, that's called a chatzer sheyesh bo din chaluka. That if we want to, we could split it up. I could take 4x4, you could take 4x4, because the minimum size of a courtyard is 4x4. So if it's 8x4, that's called yesh bo din chaluka. And if I want to demand a split, we could split. But if it's 7x4, so each of us, if we would split up, would not get 4x4, so then each partner cannot force the other one to split. Because less than 4x4 is almost, you can't use it for anything. It's so small, you can't use it for anything. And therefore, we need a minimum of 7x4 to use it for anything. And therefore, we have to keep up with the partnership. So says the Gemara, what kind of chatz are we talking about where Chacham and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argue? Amar Rabba Amar Ze'iri. So Rabba says the name is Ze'iri. Machlokes sheyesh badin chalukah. The whole machlokes of Elazar ben Yaakov and Chachamim is only where it's more than 8x4. That's where you have the machlokes. That's why the Chachamim say, I don't permit you to go in. However, and we say ein brera. Aval ein bakedei chaluka. However, if it's so small that it's less than 8x4, divrei akol mutter, the Chacham agree with Elazar ben Yaakov that for sure it's mutter, because you have to say yesh brera. Because if it's so small, each of us, obviously, originally, no one was expecting to split this up, so we're both going to have to use it all the time. Since we're both going to have to use it all the time, so whenever I use it, that's my portion. Whenever you use it, it's your portion. If it was more than 8x4, so then you could say, no, ain't brera. And you know, I own my half and you own your half. But here, you're going to have to say, it's so small, so we're going to have to share the usage. So obviously, when we bought it originally, we both understood that on some days it's going to be mine and some days it's going to be yours. So I'm not really benefiting from you. You could say such a thing. The Gemara suggests that. But then the Gemara rejects it as soon as it suggests it. Says, well, no. Amalei Rav Yosef. So this is Rabba's suggestion. Amalei Rav Yosef, really? Whenever you have a partnership that it's Ein Bo Din Chalukah, so we say Yesh Breyer and everyone agrees it's Mutter? Amalei Rav Yosef, Harei Beis HaKnesses, what about a shul owned by a city? The Kamisha Ein Bo Kedei Chalukah Dam, you can't split up the shul. It's one shul. You need a whole shul. Utran, and yet we have a Mishnah later on. Adaf Memches, this is going to be on Monday's Daf. On Daf Memches, we have a Mishnah later on. If two people swear not to get benefit from each other, Shneim Asur, Medavah Shalos Ha'ir, they're both Asur to go into the shul. Because they're both owners of the shul. Even though this is Ein Ba Din Chalukah. So you see, it's something that's Ein Ba Din Chalukah. You don't say, like, when I'm going into the shul, it's my ownership, and when you're going into the shul, it's your ownership. You don't say that. We can give other answers. We'll see. The Gemara is going to take it up later on. But anyway, the Gemara, because of this kasha, rejects Rabba. Elam Rav Yosef Amar Ze'iri. So Rav Yosef had a different. He said exactly the opposite. Machlokes she'ein ba din chalukah. The machlokes of Elazar ben Yaakov is dafka if it's less than 8x4. Avol yesh ba kedei chalukah. But if it's more than 8x4, ledivrei akol aser. If it's more than 8x4. So each of them could force the other guy to split. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that we don't say that the whole original purchase was al das, that they're going to remain partners for life, and therefore I always have to make room for you and you have to make room for me. No. Here it's more than 8x4, so I could force you to split. And therefore we say, in this case, ein brera, and therefore we're both full owners, and when I go in, I'm going into your property also. And therefore, divrei akol aser. What's the final psak halacha here? Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha, where's Mordechai when we need him? Someone's got to report this to him. Oh, he's there. Mordechai's there. Okay, Kirshner's iPhone 700. Okay, good. Amar Rav Huna, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. V'chein Amar Rav Elazar, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Oh, so comes along the Rishonim over here. Come along the Rishonim and say, why do I need the Gemara to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Didn't we all learn together in Erevin on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis that we always follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov because Mishnasa is Kav Vinaki, Kav 102. There's 102 places in Shas that we follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So even though we learned in Erevin and many other places Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is also Kav Vinaki, and Rashi over there in Erevin explains that we always follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Nevertheless, in this case, the Gemara needed to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because there's a Mishnah later on that Paskin's against him in this case. The Mishnah on Menches, which says, if I'm Mudr Hanah from you and you from me, by the case of the Beis Knesses, we say, you're not allowed to go in. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, really it's Mutter to go into the shul. Because we say, even though it's Ein Bagid Din Chalukah, we say, Yesh Breira. And so this is sort of like a Stam v'achakach machlokas. I'm sorry. Machlokas v'achakach stam. So here we have a machlokas, and the next Mishnah just presents the stam opinion of Chachamim. So it's machlokes v'achak stam. And usually we say, machlokes v'achak stam, we follow stam. And therefore, the Gemara here, that's the Achronim say, this is the Sefer Mitzvah Esan on the back of the Gemara. The Achronim say like this, therefore the Gemara had to paskin here like a husband Yaakov. And there are other, then the Netziv also quotes other reasons why we have to pass on Golos ben Yaakov. And in general, there is a question when Golos ben Yaakov argues against a rabbim, would we apply the rule of Yachid? In other words, when we say the halachas of Golos ben Yaakov, is that only where he argues on another individual? Or even when he argues on a rabbim, would we apply Yachid v'rabim, halach k'rabim? Would we follow him against the rabbim or not? So that's a question. Okay, let's finish up here. Now the Mishnah said, Hamudar Hana Mechaveru Yeshlo Shom Merchatz, right? If Reuven says he's not going to get any benefit from Shimon, and Shimon owns a bathhouse which he rented out, or an oil press which he rented out. So if Shimon is getting a cut out of the proceeds of the bathhouse or the oil press, then Reuven's not allowed to go there. But if he's not getting a cut, he's just being paid a flat rental fee. So he's not the owner. And therefore, Reuven's allowed to take a dip in the bathhouse. Ask the Gemara, how much of a cut does he need to be getting? Vikama, how much of a cut does the owner have to be getting from the renter in order that Reuven shouldn't be able to go there? Vikama tfisas yad, Amar Rav Nachman, lemechza lishlish ulerevia. The normal arrangements that they used to have is a 50-50 split, or a third, or a quarter. Abel bebatzir lo, but Rav Nachman says if it's less than a quarter, that's an insignificant amount, and therefore I'm not considered to be an owner, and therefore Reuven can go into the bathhouse. Shimon's not an owner if Shimon rented it to Levi, and Shimon only has less than a quarter interest. He's not considered to be an owner. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, what are you talking about? Why does it matter how much it is? Afila bebatzir. Usser. Even less than a quarter ownership, it's still usser. In other words, if Reuven swore never to get any benefit from Shimon, and Shimon rented the bathhouse to Levi, and Shimon's getting less than a quarter, still, as long as he's getting a percentage, any percentage, he's still considered to be an owner. So what's the case of where it's mutter? Hey, chidami deshari, demikabel betaska. So there's a dispute what these words mean. Demikabel betaska. So the simple pshat is, no, he just gets a yearly fee, a yearly rental fee, and he gets no portion at all in the proceeds of the merchatz. So then he's no longer the owner. He doesn't get the benefit out of it. The guy renting it is considered the owner for the year. He just gets paid a landlord's fee. So he's not considered to be the owner. That's the way the Ran understands this line of the Mekabel Bataska. However, the Rush explains, Mekabel Bataska means that the renter agrees to pay taxes. Taska is a head tax. That the renter accepted by himself to pay the head tax, that's when he is considered to be an owner. And others say, de mekabel bepiska. Some explain that like the Ran. The pasach is the mask of Hoshana, schum mesuyam. Others have different explanations of this, but basically, that's a question about when is the renter considered to be an owner? Does he have to pay the taxes? Maybe the owner, it depends on who's paying the taxes. But the Gemara seems to conclude, according to Abaye, even if you are paying a very little bit, so even if you're taking only a very little piece of the proceeds, you're still considered to be an owner, and therefore Reuven would not be able to go into the bathhouse. Okay, we got a bunch of short dapim here, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, everybody's welcome back. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Be'ez Hashem.
Have a good vach, Rebbe.
A good vach.
Vach.